ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 9th chapter, text 8 and 9. So what we might do is, we might do the first paragraph of the text 8, and then we'll go word by word for the text 9. Tam eva chintayan artam.
Tam eva chintayan
artam. Rishi Swasrama Evasa.
Rishi Swasrama Evasa.
Vasan Agni Arka Sambhabu. Vasan Agni Arka Samambu. Bhuvayu Viyat Atmasu. Bhuvayu Viyat Atmasu. Tam Eva Chintayan Artam. Rishi Swasrama Evasa. Rishi Swasrama Evacha. Vasan Agni Arka Samambu. Vasan Agni Arka Samambu. Bhuvayu Viyat Atmasu. Bhuvayu Viyat Atmasu. Tam Eva Chintayan Artam. Rishi Swasrama Evasa. Vasan Agni Arka Samambu. Bhuvayu Viyat Atmasu. That. Eva. Indeed. Chintayan. Thinking of. Artham. The goal. Rishi. The sage. Markandeya. Swarasrama. At his own hermitage. Eva. Indeed. Sa. He. Vasan. Remaining. Agni. In the fire. Arka. The sun. Soma. The moon. Ambu. The water. Bhu. The earth. Vayu. The wind. Viyat. The lightning. Atmasu. And in his own heart. Dhyan. Meditating. Sarvatra. In all circumstances. Cha. And. Hari. Upon Lord Hari. Bhava Dvaraya. With paraphernalia conceived in his mind. Apujayat. He offered worship. Vachit. Sometimes. Pujam. The worship. Visa. Swamara. Smara. He forgot. Prema. Of pure love of God. Prasara. In the flood. Samplutaha. Being drowned. Translation. Thinking always of his desire to see the Lord's illusionary energy, the sage remained in his ashrama, meditating constantly upon the Lord. Within fire, the sun, the moon, the water, the earth, air, lightning, and his own heart, and worshipping him with paraphernalia conceived in his mind. But sometimes, overwhelmed by waves of love for the Lord, Markandeya would forget to perform his regular worship. Purport. It's apparent from these verses that Markandeya Rishi was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, he wanted to see the illusionary energy of the Lord, not to fulfill some material ambition, but to learn how his potency is working. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruvenam Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatisva Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna. So, in this verse text, you know, it's apparent that Markandeya Rishi was meditating on the Lord to see the Lord's illusory energy. Actually, being devotees of the Lord, you know, we can see the Lord's illusionary energy around us. There is no doubt about it. We can experience that, you know. All you have to do is you have to go to the downtown in Melbourne and you can see the Lord's illusionary energy, how it is working. You know, it's very obvious. See, as a devotee you can see. But for the other people, they cannot see, you know. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, you know. You can see the Lord's illusionary energy, you know, because you are not in that. If you are in something, you cannot see, right? So if you want to see a building, right, if you are in the building, you cannot see the building. You have to get out of the building to see what the building is, you know. So like that, you have to get out of the Lord's illusionary energy to see what the Lord's illusionary energy is, you know. So as I said, you know, for devotees it's easy process. All you have to say is you go and observe them. And then you can see the Lord's illusionary energy. You need not have to do meditation like Markandeya Rishi. You know, straight away the Lord is showing you that's the potency of a devotee. Right. Today, we may ask a question, right? We are asking a few questions and answer type so that, you know, we'll try to understand the Lord's illusionary energy and various aspects concerning that, okay? So, a format little bit question and answer type, you know. Of course, I'll answer myself. I'm not going to ask you questions. But as a question and answer type, which will help us to understand more about the Lord's illusionary nature. Okay? Now, we may ask a question. What is the Lord's illusionary energy and what is its role? Okay? Now, illusory energy of the Lord is the Lord's separated energy. Okay? And it is there to attract the conditioned living entities. Okay? It has got many names as Maya, external energy, the deluding energy of the Lord. Deluding means, I looked at a dictionary, you know, it said cheating, deceitful, you know, it is covering, you know, it gives you with the intention that it is good, but it is cheating. Look at that, how it is, you know, Lord's energy itself, Lord's energy in the sense, you know, the material energy I'm talking, Lord's material energy is separated from the Lord. It is created for a purpose. That is why it is like that. It is designed like that. Okay, that is why it is a little bit deceitful, you know, in the nature. And then it is also known as external energy. Right? These are created, again, as I said, to bewilder the living entities. Okay. So in other words, Maya's role is to create an illusory sense pleasure which can never be satisfied. That is the role. We have to understand that, why it is created. So once again I'm repeating, Maya's role is to create an illusory sensual pleasure. You think that, yes, I'm getting a pleasure, but in fact it is not, and you will never be satisfied. Okay? So, what is the sensual pressure? Okay, So initially, you know, as I said, you know, we'll go through the question and answer type, and then we'll understand, and then we'll go a little bit deeper, you know, what is happening in Srimad Bhagavatam by examples. So sensual pressure is actually an attraction between the sense and the sense object. Okay. Now, anything we learn, we have to learn with a reference. Okay. Now, the reference to Bhagavad Gita verse 2.59, Vishaya Vinivartante. In that, the summary point is, one may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste for sense object still remains. Right? So externally, I may say, okay, I am not interested in seeing movies. I am not interested in whatever, going to a restaurant or something. Right? I may say, but the desire is in the mind. It's created already there. Okay? So it will be pushing us to go. Right? So further, okay, so what's happening is, it's very interesting, you know, as you go deeper into the analogy of Krishna consciousness, you can understand most of mysteries happening, okay? Now, Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita 2.59, he started with this point, okay? He, as I mentioned again, I'm saying, one may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste for sense objects still remains, okay? He left that point, okay, for everyone to understand. But Krishna is so kind that through his own devotees, he will reveal what it means. So he is revealing that in Canto 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam. See? For his own devotees, he is revealing that. So what did he say in 11th canto? He is talking to his dear devotee Uddhava. Now, before we talk. Let's keep going down. Gravity, I think. Newton's law. It keeps going down. Thank you. So, in 11th canto, Uddhava, Krishna is talking to Uddhava about the same point, is expanding on the point. See? Before we go a little bit further, Uddhava is a very dear devotee of the Lord. So, Uddhava, what he does is, he's so much attached to Krishna, he will take only the remnants of the Lord. He will always see the Lord. He will only eat the prasadam offered to the Lord. He will only wear the dress that is offered to the Lord. It is said that Krishna will wear the dress only for a day and then he will pass it on to Uddhava to wear it, you know. Uddhava is so much, you know, attracted to the Lord, he started turning, his color became blue like Krishna. Is anyone blue in our devotee? You know? So, then you know, so much attraction you have got. Look at this, you know, so much of attraction for the Lord he started. So it's worth, you know, talking about Uddhava, Krishna, his devotees. He's a top class devotee of the Lord. Now, Krishna is revealing this fact to Uddhava. He's saying, for one of the questions which Uddhava is asking, Krishna is giving an answer, you know. The question Uddhava asked was, see, even elevated personalities find it difficult to control the senses, right? So many people, you know, they're doing karmakanda, but still, you know, they are brahminical in nature, they're elevated. But still they find difficult to control the senses. Krishna, what is that? What is the reason? You know, there should be something, you know that, please tell us. For that, Uddhava is saying, Krishna is saying, Uddhava, yes, the mind is created in such a way that the senses are attracted to the sense object, and whatever the sense objects are there, they are already lodged in the mind. This is a mutual relationship. You cannot break it. That is how I have done it. Okay? So that is why we see, it's a common thing, you know, you go to the materialistic people anywhere, you know, in the town, downtown, anywhere around us, it's very difficult for them to control the senses. The moment you say, you know, control the senses, they cannot accept that. Why? Because they are attached to the body, you know. So Krishna is explaining this point. So there is a mutual relationship that is happening between the senses and the sense objects. Okay, anything, you know, whatever you see in the world is sense object. And then Krishna adds further, you know, to the question, which we are not discussing yet. But anyway, the answer is, Krishna says, yes, I have created the senses like that. But if you want freedom from the senses or the sense object, it's very simple. Krishna says, bring me between the sense and the sense objects. So anything, you know, anything between the sense and the sense object, bring Krishna. So if you are attached to the food, going to the restaurant, bring Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, then that thing will go away. If you want to hear mundane music, some Bollywood music, right? And if you want to stop that, simple. Hear kirtan, bring Krishna between you and your senses, then that will go away. He said that's a simple logic. That's what Krishna is saying there. Okay. Now, we discussed that, you know, it's very difficult for the materialistic people to control the senses, because first point is they don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. That's the highest, you know, they don't know that. So hence it's difficult for them. Now analyzing, you know, we don't want to go to the level of Krishna consciousness, you know, general level, you know, we'll analyze. So materialistic people, what is happening is, you know how, okay, we understand what as a devotee, and then we'll go to the non-devotee. With a devotee, you know, we know there is a hierarchy, again, which Krishna explains in 3.42. There is an hierarchy of the mind, intelligence and the soul, okay? Very clearly Krishna is explaining, okay? Of that, the sense object, everything is beneath, that's covered by, or that is supervised by the mind, and above mind is intelligence, and above intelligence is a soul. So, what's happening with the materialistic people or the non-devotees is, the intelligence is below the mind. Very interesting point, right? So, how do we say that, you know? One may ask me, how do you know that? How do you say that? It's a very simple fact that they are driven by the sensual pressure. Okay? For example, if they think, okay, today I want to go and eat in an Indonesian restaurant. Okay. But we are so lucky, we are getting everything cooked by Aditi Mataji, you know, everything offered to the Lord. But we are so lucky. But for others it's difficult. Today I want to get the Indonesian Bali non-food, non-prasadam. They may think, you know. So what's happening? The moment they think it's created in the mind, the intelligence is going to work. They'll say, come on, there is a restaurant in the city. Okay, they will go, or sometimes, you know, the friend, they will call up the friend and say, okay, I know such and such a restaurant, you know, there, what do you think of that? Or the friends may say, no, that is not good, you know, go to, you know, somewhere in Geelong or something, it's good. So they will go all the way to Geelong to take, no, it is a fact, you know, it's a fact. They go all the way to the Geelong to take that prasadam, to take the non-prasadam and to incur karma and suffer. Okay? Now, with that we understand that the intelligence is below the mind. Okay? For a devotee, what happens? Okay, we will say, we want to eat. The senses again, you know, it is powerful, you know. So what we do, we take Krishna prasadam, we are happily satisfied and no problem, you know. And we will be keeping smiling like Harinam, Ananda, all the time Ananda. Okay? That's because of taking Krishna prasadam. Alright? Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his lecture, right, he says, the jiva are given a very minute independence. Okay? Now, what they are doing, the jiva, that independence is used to serve the Lord's illusory energy. Okay? That's the independence is given Lord. But as a devotees, we choose to serve the Lord's internal energy. But the jivas, because the independence is given, they like to choose to serve the Lord's illusionary energy. That's the difference, you know, for the conditioned soul. Okay. Why do they do that? Srila Prabhupada says it's because out of ignorance. Okay? So you can choose to, see, the independence is given to you to serve, you know. It's up to you whether to serve the Lord's illusionary energy or internal energy. But the conditioned soul, they are preferring to choose the Lord's, serve the Lord's illusionary energy. Why is that? There is always a reason, Krishna conscious. You can always ask that. You have a right to ask that. And Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given the answer. He said, it's because of ignorance. Okay, out of ignorance. So, our next question is would be, what is ignorance and how it is caused? Okay? So, systematically we'll study, you know, in that way we understand. And then, as I said, we will plunge into Srimad Bhagavatam deeper with an example. Okay? So, ignorance means, as all the devotees know, I'm not going to tell something new, is identifying with the gross and subtle form of body. And that is caused by the forgetfulness of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains. Right? See, what happens is, the moment you forget Krishna, right, there is darkness. So what is happening in darkness? You misidentify, you don't know. Identity crisis. You don't know what is happening, you know. So the only thing is, Krishna explains that the body is a field of activity. So you identify with the body and you act with the body. Yes, fine. That's my eyes, my senses, I'll enjoy it. So, the problem is not with the living entity, because due to the, you know, the conditioned state, they are picking up something which is not correct. Right? That's because out of ignorance, you know, they're doing that. So identification of body due to the forgetfulness of Krishna. So why do you forget Krishna? Next question. Okay. Now in 15.5, Krishna says, from me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Right? So why? The forgetfulness is also given by Krishna. Why? Why is given? Because the living entity desires that, you know. You know what I mean? So as a child, you know, I will normally tell my dad, you know, when he goes out, come on, get me a toy, you know, that toy I want. Okay? But just to please me, you know, my father gets me that. Okay? Because as a father, he's trying to please his son, me. Okay? So the desire of the Lord, Supreme Lord, who's our father, he is trying to please us, you know. We are saying, you know, no Lord, we want to be in that state, you know. We want to enjoy the material nature. So the Lord has created that. We want to enjoy, find senses are created and sense objects are done. Okay, you go and do that. Okay? So that's the reason, you know. So forgetfulness also comes from Krishna. So Krishna puts you in that situation. But the moment, that is again caused by the forgetfulness of Krishna. But the moment you think, yes, no Lord, I want to surrender to you, I want to think of you and do service, immediately the Lord takes you with internal energy. It's amazing, isn't it, how Lord is working. But for other people, it's very difficult to understand. It's very obvious for a devotee, you know. A devotee, you know, obvious, you know, we can see that. The Lord takes the conditioned soul and puts into the internal energy. And that is why, as I said earlier, it's very easy for us to control the senses. Nothing so easy, you know, which the materialistic people are finding it very hard. You know, it's the life situation for them, you know. They cannot imagine. It's something beyond the conception. Okay? For a devotee, it's easy because the Lord. The moment you get connected to the Lord puts you into the internal energy. But provided that the Lord wants you some contract from you, you have to do the regulative principles, you have to follow the Guru's order, then the Lord is fine. Then the Lord will help you out. The moment you deviate from that, fine, the Lord will also, you know, deviate from your helping you. Alright? Okay. Now we will see. Okay, I said that this forgetfulness of Krishna. Because what's happening? Why do we again do that? Because we are getting a gross body with the senses, right? And the moment we enjoy with the senses, easily we can forget Krishna. There's no doubt about it, you know. We have done that in the past, you know, before becoming a devotee. We were, you know, enjoying our senses. And at that time, you know, even I'm not saying that, you know, at that time, you know, I did not have any idea about Krishna. All I know is Krishna is God, you know. I don't know what form is existing, where he is, how to, you know, serve him. Nothing was clear to me, you know, because I was enjoyed in my sense gratification. All the time, me and my senses. So how can you get a Krishna consciousness into your mind? So by getting the gross body, right, you can get a sensual pleasure and you can forget Krishna. Okay, that's the point. All right. Now, okay, I want to bring the point that, you know, very practical example that our body is comprising of the five elements, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, you know. It's a very simple example. The other day, you know, I was trying to cook at home. I was trying to, you know, when I get a chance, you know, I cook at home, offered to the Lord, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. The other day when I was cooking, I was moving a vessel, you know, between this end to the other end. I was moving a particular dish, you know, from one flame to another flame, right? When I moved, I turned on the other stove, other flame, and I was moving. As I was moving, I did not reduce the intensity of the flame of the vessel I was cooking, okay? So it's a very, very quick one. I moved it and within minutes I noticed that part of my hair has burnt. Okay? Then, you know, sometimes we forget this, you know, but we have to go a little bit deeper. I was thinking, yes, my body is burnt. So what is the conclusion? So it is flammable. I forgot the principle, you know. Oh, my body is flammable. Yes, it will be burnt then. It can be burnt. Then I started analyzing, yes, what is body, you know, really, you know, I stop that, I think, okay, this is the time, you know, something, let me start analyzing. Then, I mean, I was just telling you whatever I thought. At the time I started analyzing, I thought, yes, the body, what is the body? Basically, you know, blood, about 10 to 12 liters of blood, it is pumping through the heart, you know, as a pump. And then, so many things are happening, it's excreted, it's got kidney, all are material elements. So nothing is spiritual there. So which is capable of burning, because it comprises of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And whatever component that is inside the body is also present outside. The fire is fire of digestion is outside, inside. Water is inside, outside. Air we are breathing. You stop the breathing of your air, finished. If Vayu is not, you know, very generous to you, you are finished. So how much we are indebted to the Vayu Bhagavan, you know? Just 1 minute you try to close your nose and see, you know, suffocation, you will die. So many components are there. But yet, you know, I'm thinking, yes, I am independent. I can do whatever I want. That was a good... One small thing triggered me to think that. Okay? So, the conclusion is, body is flammable. Okay? It is not flammable. But, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the soul is non-flammable. So, which one will you attach to? You can attach to the flammable one, no doubt, but it will be burned. But it will be difficult to attach to the non-flammable soul, but it is permanent. That's the conclusion Krishna is giving. Right? So you analyze, you know, everything is external. You know, if the component is, say for example, if my soul leaves, then this body is useless. I'm talking, I'm seeing, I'm listening, I'm hearing, everything because of the component soul. Which is part of the Lord, which is a tiny fragmental part, just a very tiny speck of the Lord's part. Imagine, a tiny speck of the Lord's part is in me and that is making me to do everything. But what is a Lord which is nothing but only spiritual energy, the Lord's body and the Lord's soul. So imagine how powerful it is. So this gives a small indication of how powerful Krishna would be, you know, isn't it? One speck of us, we are doing so many things, you know, I'm thinking I'm capable of doing that, fine, I can drive here, I'm drive to the farm, I'll do that, you know, this one. But the Lord is made up of only Satchidananda Vigraha. So how powerful he should be, isn't it? So Srimad Bhagavatam class is given so that the ego will be smashed. That is the whole point of giving Srimad Bhagavatam. The false ego will be smashed by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? Why? Because you know that someone else is higher than you and you have to abide by the rules of the Lord. Okay? So that's the main point of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, so by constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, our false ego will be crushed and then we can become a very good devotee. The main problem is our false ego. Okay, that is one example. Okay, and then... in connecting this point, just making a point a little bit deeper, what Brahma is doing is just making the bodies of all living entities, which is nothing different to an expert toy maker. He uses plaster of Paris to make little bit toys and dolls and animals. Okay, expert toy maker, he takes a plaster of Paris, he makes a very good doll of a lady, a man, cow, tiger, whatever may be, you know. Exactly the same way Brahma is doing, but on a higher level. He takes the Prakriti nature and puts different bodies, different form, different... So we are attracted. Oh, yeah, I'm nice. It's just a form. It's a Prakriti, material nature. It's just covered up nicely, you know. Now, we are going to see a couple of practical examples to prove that how we are not the body. Okay? Very, very simple example. That is good. Okay? Now, for the first example, I'm going to please borrow the watch of Harinama Ananda for a sec, please. Just quickly. Because I forgot my watch. Forgetfulness. It comes from Krishna, but this is my difficulty. Okay. Now this watch is there. Okay. I'm wearing this watch. Can I take it? I'm wearing this watch. Okay. Now, imagine... That is fine today. Tomorrow, okay, this watch is growing little bit in shape and little bit in size. Okay, so tomorrow it is growing 1 inch bigger and 1 inch thicker. Okay? Now after 1 week, it is again growing little bit bigger and thicker. Little bit bigger and thicker. And then after 1 year, when Harinama is asking me, where is my watch? I'm giving him a big one, you know, which is unable for him to lift it, you know. Okay? Now, if something is changing constantly, do you believe that? My question to you. So you have given me the watch, okay? I'm giving it to you. But if it keeps on changing every day, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, okay? And give it to you, do you believe that? Do you trust me? Will you recognize that? No, you don't. No? But we are recognizing that. Our body, you know. We were born, you know, as a tiny child, you know. And the body keeps on growing every day. But we believe our body, you know, we trust. Okay? Isn't it? Every day, even today we are growing. We are eating, we are growing. Tomorrow we are growing. But we think, yes, body is ours. So anything which is constantly growing and changing, that is not ours. Again, Krishna's example, you know. Bhagavad Gita, he says. Right? Isn't it? It's a very optical example. Practical example, isn't it? Harinama, thank you very much for this. Now, the other thing is, imagine we have got a machine, you know, very good machine made up of gold, okay, very nice externally, you know, beautiful, it's got, you know, very nice features and all that, but that machine, you know, you are feeding very good, nice food, but it has got two outlets, you know, excretion outlet, one it is passing urine, and other one is passing stool. Submission. You put nice prasadam up, okay? And it is giving two, you know, excretions, you know, which is one is urine and other one stool. So do you get attached to that machine? Because Krishna says, you know, the body is a machine. No, we have to practically imagine. It's not that Krishna conscious is just going in a corner and if no one is seeing Hare Krishna. No, this is not that. It's a practical one. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not blocked. Is not in a locked up in the temple room like this. Is not for it, Srila Prabhupada. It should be spread out, you know. When I was a kid, you know, in India, I used to go to the temple and there they'll have one Srimad Bhagavan, whatever may be, in a Krishna temple, and it will be under lock and key. They'll reopen one page and you can just read a little bit that too in Sanskrit. What do I know about Sanskrit? And the priest will not even open it to see, you know, we can't even touch. Oh, no, no, don't touch, that's Krishna. So this kind of knowledge is locked in the temple, you know. But it's because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he let it out. You know, he let it out. He said, it's not be locked in the temple. Everyone should know what is Krishna. Everyone has got a right to go back to Godhead. It is not that, you know, it's a privilege of only Brahmanas or Kshatriyas or Sudras. No, everyone has got a right to go to Godhead by following the right principles, you know. That is why Krishna consciousness is open. Look at the amount of work Srila Prabhupada has done. Every center in every part of the world. Okay, so he let us open Krishna consciousness. So you will not be attached to the machine, right? But we are attached. So the body is like that. Exactly. No? Very nice to look at externally, but it is only excretion. It's happening. All right. But one thing is clear: the advanced devotees of the Lord, they can see this clearly. What's the difference between the body and soul? They have got the eyes, you know. And they can nicely, the transcendental eyes given by the Lord, to see the difference between the Lord's illusionary energy and the Lord's external energy. You may say, how do you know that? Yes, you've got, everything has got a reference, okay? Now the reference is Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19. Queen Kunti Devi is offering his prayers to Lord Krishna. Okay? She is saying, very good verse offering. Many prayers she has offered. This one line I liked it, you know. She says, a foolish observer cannot see the Lord just as the actor dressed as a player is not recognized in a player, in a play. Okay? So if there is an actor recognized in a, it's not recognized in a play, you will not know who the actor is. Okay? Why is that? Why is that happening? You're not recognized? Because she is saying the Lord's deluding energy, material energy, is covering the Lord. So the conditioned soul cannot see Him. I mentioned this point before in previous class. So if you put a curtain, you will not see the Lord. So the Lord's material energy, deluding energy, is covering the Lord, and that will not allow the conditioned soul to see. Only by the practice of Krishna consciousness, that curtain will be removed. So Queen Kunti Devi is praying, the pure devotee of the Lord, he is giving us this point, you know. So that is why you see all the conditioned souls are attracted to the sensual objects, material nature. They cannot see the Lord. For a devotee, Lord is everywhere. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am not lost to a devotee is not lost to me. Right? How can a devotee lose Krishna? He is never lost. All every minute is there. It's up to an individual. So the prayer, we confirm that. Queen Kunti's. Alright. Now, we'll go a little bit into the Bhagavatam now. sorry for that. So, with this understanding, if you go to the Bhagavatam, then we can analyze. Now, today I'm going into an aspect of Bhagavatam. I want to bring out two points, you know, in that scenario. The first point being that all of us are not born as a devotee. Right? It is somehow by the grace of the devotees or by the grace of some pure devotees, we have got into the association of Krishna consciousness, right? So, there is a good example in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is going to talk about it. So, we'll discuss about it quickly. And the second point is an exemplary character of the devotee. Unless you exhibit a pure character and exemplary character in Krishna consciousness, you cannot give that to others. Right? So, this personality has exhibited an excellent character in Krishna consciousness, and hence he is able to give Krishna consciousness to others. Okay, so both the points are combined. Right, you got the point. Both the points. So that will be discussed in Canto 5.10. Any guess? Prabhu may be knowing. 5.10, fifth canto, 10th chapter. Yes, correct. So, we are going to discuss a conversation between Jadabharat and King Raghugana. Okay, very effective conversation and very good also. It's worth listening and thinking and meditating on that. Okay. Now, most of you know the story of Jadabharat, I guess. So, Jadabharat was actually King Bharat in his previous birth, the previous birth, right? And because he was attached to a deer, innocent animal, he in his last stages of death, he was meditating on a deer and he got a deer's body. But the Lord was kind to him, okay? Because he has almost attained the bhava state. See, bhava state is intermittently you can think of the Lord. You can feel the Lord's presence, intermittently. It's almost one step below prema. So prema means continuous thinking of Krishna. The moment you close your eyes, then you can see Krishna. You can talk to Krishna. That is prema, highest level. One level below is bhava, which is intermittently. Krishna will come, you can feel, have the presence of the Lord, he'll disappear. Then, you know, maybe in a few days, maybe many times you can have the presence of the Lord, like that. So he's attained the state of bhava. But because if attached to a deer, he got the body of a deer. But his consciousness was still there, you know, as a devotee because of the elevated consciousness in Krishna consciousness. So, alright. So, Jadabharat, because of his past good deeds, he was, he has attained the highest consciousness in Krishna consciousness, and hence he was given a body of a brahmana. Okay? So this, Jadabharat, because he got a deer's body, when he was a deer, he was associating with all the saintly person, and because of that, he got the body of a brahmana. Okay? Now in Brahmins, when he attained the Brahmin's body, he was very cautious. He was afraid of materialistic people. He does not want to talk to them because he was thinking that, you know, if I associate again, I will fall down, you know. His only intention was not to fall down and completely practice Krishna consciousness. Right? So, Jadabharat, he was highly a self-realized soul. He was not on the bodily platform at all. He was not affected by any bodily consciousness or identification. He was wandering like a deaf and a dumb man. Okay, he is quite stout and is heavy and all that. But he acts like a dumb and a deaf person, you know, he will not talk to anyone. So the other person, they think that he's a fool and they'll avoid him. So this kind of consciousness he was creating so that he wants to avoid the materialistic association. Why? Because materialistic association means the Maya's role will be very prominent. Okay? And hence it will be very difficult for an entity to overpower the Maya, which is very, very, you know, powerful, excellent energy of the Lord. So he was trying to act in that way so that he can reduce the material impact of the material nature. Now, what is happening is, as Jadabharat was wandering here and there, and before that, one more point. Jadabharat was so renounced that he was not actually taking food for taste, you know. Sometimes we take food because it's tasty, you know. But Jadabharat, what he was doing is, whether the food is tasteless or stale or filthy also, it does not matter. If someone offered him, he will take it. He will not complain. Okay? He was because that shows that he was completely not on the bodily platform. Completely renounced, self-realized person. Right? Now, as he was wandering here and there, one day he met King Raghuguna. Raghuguna, okay? Now, Raghuguna, he is a ruler of Sindhu and Saurya state, you know. I looked into the Google to find out, you know, where the state is existing. Now, Sindhu is currently is Indus, right? Indus Valley, and right now it's in Pakistan. So, once upon a time, it was ruled by India. And it is still existing now. And at that time, it was ruled by King Raghuguna. It was many centuries back. And in during the times of Rama, Mahabharata, Jayadratha is a brother-in-law of Duryodhana. He was ruling that state. So Jayadratha conquered a few of the neighboring states, and then it came all under one state as Sindhu, and he was ruling that. It was a very powerful demon. So once King Raghuguna, he was moving from his state to Kapil Ashrama. This was an ashram set by Lord Kapil Dev, son of Devahuti. He was proceeding, perhaps, you know. So from the point, it is obvious that King Raghuguna is also not an ordinary person. He is a very realized person, but is little bit covered by the mode of ignorance and passion. You can see now, okay, through the example. Now he was going, and those days, as you know, when the king is traveling, he will not use a Mercedes Benz or, you know, Toyota car, you know. Isn't it? They used to have something known as palanquin. Palanquin, most of you, do you know? Palanquin, right? Someone has to sit, you know, it's studded with gold and whatever, maybe. Four people, like a barrel, you know, four people has to carry, and the king will be happily sitting and they will be ordering the people, you know. So, four people have to carry. Now, it so happened that when they came to a place where Jadabharat was there, right, one of the person, you know, he went for rest and he disappeared. Okay? And so, they were running short of one person to carry the king, okay? After all, it's a king. King means like a prime minister now, you know. Like imagine, you know, the prime minister is coming here, and after the prime minister comes to the temple, the driver runs away. There is no one to drive. There is no one to drive the prime minister, you know. So what we'll do, you know, someone has to drive it. So in that case, they were looking for someone, you know, and they saw Jadabharat wandering here and there. Jadabharat is a very heavy personality, very, very strong, and in a stout, and all that. Of course, and they thought, oh, this fellow is like an animal. Dumb also, he looks, you know, because it is in the Bhagavatam it is described that Jadabharat was not even covering himself. He was not worried about cold or hot, you know. In winter, if you go outside without jumper, we can't even go, right? But if Jadabharat was loitering throughout the length and breadth of India, you know, he was not even wearing anything, and because of that, and he used to sleep on the ground, and because of that, his Brahmin thread has become dark black. That's a description given here. So imagine, you know, if a Brahmin thread, what we do every day, you know, we clean a Brahmin thread with soap and make it white, right? Because we are the purest Brahmin, make it white. But Jadabharat, you know, his Brahmin thread was dark, black. Almost he was sleeping on the ground like that. He was not even covering, you know. So he was completely unattached. That's it. The point Srimad Bhagavatam is again and again saying that it was completely a realized person. So as he was wandering away, someone called him, you know. They said, one of the chief palanquin, they called him and they said, come on, You come here because the king is there and you have to take the king. Jarabharat, he does not care. He said, fine, I'll come. You know, what is there? You know, anyway, I'm doing nothing. Let me come and do this. So as he was going across, right? Jarabharat is a real nice person and is also cautious of, is a non-violent person. As a devotee, right? As a devotee, everyone is non-violent. That is why we don't want to eat meat, you know. We don't want to incur sin by killing another animal. So as he was walking, he was very cautious not to step on the ant. Okay? So he was very careful, and because of that, he was going and swimming the phallic beam, you know, like that, you know. Like, you know, going this side. He was pushing the phallic beam or carrying it erratically. Because of that, king was wondering. He opened the curtain and said, who is that? Oh, this fellow. What is that? He's doing. He's not doing. So the king was, you know, he was a realized person. So immediately he don't want to chastise him. But he was very sarcastic. He said, oh, you. It looks that you're very fatigued. You know, king was very sarcastic in his comments, okay? Even those days, imagine. He was saying, oh, this guy, it looks that you're very fatigued. Because of your old age, are you fatigued? Right? The king was saying, and then he also said, oh, it looks that you are not very firm in carrying the palanquin because you are not strong, you are weak, that is why you are going, you know, here and there, and you are not pushing the carrier properly, you know. So is all your people cooperating with you like that? Because he was alone, he was not talking to anyone. See how sarcastic the king observed all this and is saying, oh, it's all the purpose, I hope that everyone is cooperating with you. That is why you're moving the palanquin nicely, you know. So it's very sarcastic. But Jataparat, as we all know, is being a very elevated personality. He did not matter because he was not affected by the body. He just kept quiet and he was going across. Now all this conversation is happening as the palanquin is moving from A to B, B to C, different points, okay? Now, again, you know, Jarabharat did not even care. Again, he was making sure that I should not step on the ant. So he was going again in a zigzag manner. The king was very much disturbed now. He got angry because he was in the mode of passion. Completely mode of passion. So he started chastising him. What did he say? He used actually heavy words, you know. He said, you rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead? Is there any life in you? Do you know that I am the master, you are the servant, I am ordering you to carry me properly. If you disobey me, like Amaraj, who punishes, you know, the sinful person, I will give you punishment. I will give you punishment in such a way that I will make you come to the senses. Push, you know, do your job properly, king ordered. Now, Jataparat, now he thought, yes, now is the time for me, you know. I should not keep quiet, you know. So he started replying back to the king. He said, yes, that is right, you know. The load which I am carrying by this body is not me, because I am a spirit soul. Right? And he said, the thinness, fatness, everything you described, right? That I am a fat and I am carrying and I am weak and all that. That is only the bodily external factors, you know, that is making a body, and they are all transformation of the body. Okay, today you may be thin, you eat nice prasadam, you become fat. And you fast for Ekadashi, you become thin. So it's all a transformation of the body. So it's nothing to worry about it. You know? Anyway, I am not bothered because I am not on the bodily consciousness. And he also said, my king, the material nature has a beginning and an end. Okay, today you are a king, tomorrow who knows, you may be a servant. Because everything is rotated around the temporary world. You know, so they are all temporary manifestations. So nothing is going to affect me, you know, and they are all created by the providence. So who are you, you know, anything can change. And everyone is forced by the law of nature. So therefore, no one is a master, no one is a servant, like that, you know, he gave befitting answers to him. Then he said, then later on this is a very good argument, he said, you call me as a dull and dead, okay? Then he's saying, what is the use of punishing a dead person? He's saying, if you want to punish a dead person by beating on a dead horse, what is the use? You're wasting your punishment. That will not work on me because I'm not on the bodily platform. I'm a liberated soul. He's talking because he's there. He's talking. And then he also said that, finally he said, if you think that I'm a madman, even your punishment will not work, because if you give punishment to me, I will not be cured of my madness. I'm still mad. So what is your use of a punishment? Then the king was shocked, was taken back. He said, who is that? He's talking this philosophical. You know, all the time in the palace, whenever the king says anything, all will say, yes king, they will do for the king. No one will oppose the king. Okay? Only people who have got a knowledge, they can oppose. Now this person, who is so much in philosophical thoughts, is able to tell me, so this is a very highly advanced person. So what he did, immediately he jumped from the palanquin and he offered obeisances to Chadabara. He said, I have done a great offense. Please forgive me. You are such a realized person. Please impart the knowledge. Please tell me. Whatever you said so far, I did not understand. It did not go into my head. Because I was completely covered by the mode of passion and ignorance. I am on the bodily construct of life. Please enlighten me with the spiritual knowledge. Then what happened? Immediately, Jadabharat forgot all the sarcasm and all the offenses which the king has done to him. This is a quality of a devotee. This is a quality of a devotee. They should be able to forget, you know, any shortcomings with other person, and then, you know, be a nice devotee to everyone. Now the same quality is exhibited by Chitraketu Maharaj. When Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu Maharaj, he did not say anything. He said, Mother, thank you, I have done a mistake. Please, I will accept your cursings, you know. And then he walked away, you know, and Shiva was praising him. Look at the devotee of Lord Hari. They are not ordinary person. No one can imitate them. You know, they are the topmost. You know? Lord Shiva is glorifying them. So in that way, you know, things were going on, and then Jagaparat was kind enough to tell King Raghuguna every point, you know, about spiritual aspects. You know, he was asked a lot of questions, you know, about the body, the senses, the mind, the different concoctions of the mind, how Maya can entrap a living entity, and how through the association of the devotees one can wake up the dormant nature of Krishna consciousness, cultivate Krishna consciousness, and go back to Godhead in the same lifetime. Jadabharat is saying that. Okay, so he was telling, and then Raghuguna, what happened was, he accepted Raghuguna accepted Jadabharat as a spiritual master, and then he was completely liberated from the material consciousness, and he also went back to Godhead. And finally, you know, very final point, concluding point, okay, is the modern philosophy. Okay, we'll conclude with what the modern scientists all say. Now, I have studied a subject, you know, in my pharmaceutical science, okay. In that subject, what they're saying is, if you want to know a process is performing consistently, you have to think of the two parameters. Okay? Two parameters is very important. Because everywhere you see, right? Everywhere is mechanized manufacturing industries, you know. They make car bodies, someone else is making the spare parts, someone else is making the plastic part, someone else is making the mirror, someone else is making the tire and all that. Everything involves manufacturing. Right? Without anything, there is without manufacturing, there is nothing there. Everywhere, manufacturing operations. Okay. Now, these days, you know, the modern technology, they bought a statistical control, okay, known as SPC, statistical process control. Okay, just a quick one, you know, it's worth listening to this point. Now, what they say is, for a process to be consistent, you have to adhere to two processes, two parameters. The two parameters are, they say the process has to be stable and it has to be capable. Okay? If you look into the two parameters, then your manufacturing operations will be okay and you will not have any rejects. Which means, whatever you are producing in your company is 99.9% or 99.98% good and there is no rejects. Okay. Now, what are the two parameters? One, they are saying it is stable, and the other one is capable. Now, what is stable, you know? The stable means they are saying a process has to be always centered. They should not deviate from the center. Okay? And capable means it should be always within the specifications. Alright? It has got upper specifications and lower specifications, right? Suppose if you want to make a mic, okay? They can't make like this, you know. This is a specification. It should be this size, it should be this diameter, and if it is like this, you know, then I can't speak, you know what I mean? I'll be all the time looking at the mic. So there's a specification for the stand also. It is thin. If it is so big, then I can't even handle that. Okay? So everything, even the drum, okay? Everything in this world has got a specification, which has got an upper limit and a lower limit. Okay? Now, How do we apply that? Krishna, how do you apply that material, the parameter thing to our Krishna consciousness? We should be wise enough to borrow the material technology and apply it into Krishna consciousness, right? Because we have got the knowledge. Okay, so what I thought is, let me apply that into Krishna consciousness. I studied that. Okay, so in that way it will benefit everyone, okay? Now, Gopa Vrindesh Prabhu may be more interested because he is a doctor by himself, PhD in wireless technology. So he may be interested in the process technology, and Mahatma Prabhu also, because he is talking to many intellectual people, it may help you out, okay? So stability, as I said, stability means on the center. So who is our center? Krishna. So what we should do? We should not deviate from the center. So we should always stick on to the center, which is Krishna. Anything we do, always come back to Krishna. So in that case, we are not deviating from Krishna. So what is happening? Our process becomes stable. Stability is approached. Okay. Second, capability. What is capability? Capability means meeting the required specifications, as I said. So what are the specifications? What's the principle? We have to follow 4 regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. So if we do the capability, which is the principles, then our process will be capable. So by doing this capable and stable process, what happens? Our Krishna consciousness will be consistent. So with that, I want to conclude. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for taking a little more time, but I thought if I could give you some points, you know, to think or meditate, it's always better. Any questions, comments? Yes.
How to meditate for 24 hours?
Meditate or think? Because meditation is not our process in one sense, of course. It's a basic remembrance, yes. So it is said that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So remembrance comes before Shravanam and Kirtanam. So that is a process we are following, right? So your remembrance is a third step, hierarchy, third step. So the first step is Shravanam. Always listen, Krishna Katha. So, Prabhu, you are always doing, right? You are regular to Srimad Bhagavatam class. You are always taking the nectarian pastimes of the Lord. So it is going into your ear. So you should relish and you should feel sweet. Okay? So first is Shravanam. Keep on hearing the transcendental pastime. Because Srila Prabhupada says in one of the lectures, you hear Krishna. You see Krishna through your ears, not through your eyes. Why? Because if I say the description of the Lord, you are hearing, right? And through hearing, you can visualize, you know. See, Krishna has got a darkish, bluish complexion. He's wearing a dhoti, you know, orange, yellow robe. And then he's having Kasturba jewel, you know. He's having a flute. See, you're hearing and then you're imagining. So for us, hearing is a process, Shravanam. And Kirtanam, chanting the Lord's name. So it is said that, and everyone knows that, Parishit Maharaj, he was constantly hearing the nectarian words of Shukadeva Goswami, and he got liberated. Of course, Parishit Shukadeva Goswami is a liberated person. There is no liberation for him. Yet, he is saying that I, even liberated person, also listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because they find very high pleasure in listening to that. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is for conditioned soul, for aspiring devotees, and also for liberated souls. Because Uddhava used to keep on asking Krishna questions, you know, Krishna used to answer, you know. So for us, hearing, chanting, then automatically you will remember. There is no doubt about it. Prabhu, anything you would like to add? Prabhu is asking remembrance. How do you constantly remember? This is a point I thought, but you may see from a different angle, you know, which is also, you know, good for everyone, which is our process too.
Two things. The one is actually our endeavor to remember Krishna, and then the mercy of Krishna is the second one. So if we pray to Krishna to help us to remember Him, then Krishna will empower us to remember Him, so we can also pray to Him to give His mercy. So we endeavor, but we also pray to Him for His mercy, so we can remember.
Okay. So that's the point. So what I said was an endeavor from our end. What Prabhu is saying is endeavor from Krishna's end, you know. So if the bird is flying, it's flying with the two wings, okay. So one is our endeavor, the other endeavor is from the Lord. So when we see the deity, you just go and, you know, request, Lord, please help us, you know, so that we should not be deviated from the process of Krishna consciousness. In that way, the Lord is saying, oh, he's genuine devotee, he's interested in my service. So in that way, the Lord helps you out. So that is good. So our endeavor will work. But we also want Krishna's mercy, you know. Who will not need Krishna's mercy? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.